Welcome to the very first podcast for Faith by Reason. I am your host, EM, those are my initials, and I am the creator, author, writer, czar of the Faith by Reason website. The website behind all this is faithbyreason.net. That is where you will find the Faith by Reason blog. You will find all the different pages that are up, the archives, subscriptions, and links to our social media. Faith by Reason is on Facebook. If you search for Faith by Reason using Facebook's tragically inept search engine, you can find us that way. And on Twitter, our handle is at Faith by Reason. The easiest way is just to go to the website, faithbyreason.net, and click on any of the social media icons. And you can follow us, like us, track us, comment, and do all that. So why am I doing a podcast? Well, Faith by Reason, the blog, has been in the world on the interwebs since 2010, up to almost 100 posts. And I thought a podcast would be just another way to engage readers. A lot of people don't like doing a lot of reading. If you've been following the website for a while, you'll notice that the posts have gotten quite a bit more, quite a bit lengthier. The content's been a little heavier, and that's by design. As I've been delving into more complicated doctrine, I wanted to really make sure that I was examining everything thoroughly. That's kind of the way that I want the site to work. And some folks are just do better with audio. I'm one of them. I am definitely an audio learner. I prefer books on tape, or these days books on MP3. That just helps me. And again, this is a more engaging way to present some of the content to the listeners. You hear my voice, it makes it a little more personal. And I just wanted to add to the functionality of the site and just enhance the experience. And of course, it's going to be a lot more informal. In the blog posts themselves, when I'm writing them, I do quite a bit of research. There are a lot of links in there. Because again, I want to be very thorough, and even with the sense of humor you'll find in the blog, I still take it very seriously, and I put a lot of work into the posts. This is going to be a lot more informal. The podcasts are really going to be expositional. That's really the way I'm intending for the podcast to work. So for this very first podcast, I thought that it would be a good idea just to lay some foundational stuff, to just tell you about the podcasts going forward, what the format of them are going to be, some information about the blog, what's the intention of the blog, why am I doing it, and a little bit about me. Who am I to a certain degree, and why did I decide to do the Faith by Reason website and blog? So with all that said, let's get started. So what will be the format of these podcasts going forward? Well, I want them to be weekly, which is an ambitious goal for me, because when I first started the blog, I was doing them weekly, and that was working out well until life started happening. Between now and the time I started the blog, I've gotten married, bought a house, and had a couple kids, and advanced in my career, and all those things have kind of been a drain on my time and have not given me as much time as I would have liked to dedicate to the blog, and so the posts have gotten a little bit more sporadic. But I believe that the podcast, because they're a little more informal, will allow me to have a greater frequency of distribution. So I'm going to have the goal of having podcasts weekly. I'm going to try to keep them to no more than 30 minutes. I tend to be a bit long-winded, as you will find, but I'll try to take control and be in a little bit more control of myself and get to the point and stay that way, because no one wants to hear anyone drone on for that long, especially not me. The podcast is really going to be based on the post. We're going to kind of start at the beginning of the Faith by Reason post and go through the different posts and have a podcast attached to the post. It probably won't be a single podcast for every single post, because a lot of them won't require 30 minutes of exposition. Some of them will. When I get into some of the really important in-depth topics I want to expound on, then there will be other times where I will have a podcast that will combine three or four different posts, especially when I do series. If you'll see on the website, there are a lot of series, and I can probably tackle a few of them at once into one podcast. So that's the format for the podcast. So let's get into the blog itself. Why did I create Faith by Reason? And why have I written so many posts on it? The reason I have is because I saw a gap, something missing in a lot of Christian ministries. Now, there are plenty of websites and blogs out there about Christianity, about the fundamentals of Christianity, about the greatness of God and all those things. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything right with that. But what I haven't seen was something, anything that really talked about how Christianity makes sense, not in the just faith-based world, but in the objective world, the world of logic and reason. And my premise in life has always been that if something is right, then it should make sense to anyone. It should make sense not based on any perspective you might have, any biases or any subjectivity you might have. It should just make sense purely objectively. And I believe the same thing about God. If God is real, if the Bible is real, if Christian philosophy is true, if God's plan is right, then it should make sense, not just because I happen to believe it as a Christian. It should all make sense logically. It should be completely logical that God is a creator. It should be logical and reasonable that he sent a flood to wipe out the population of the earth. It should be logical and reasonable that God is triune, that he sent his son to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Those are all a lot of things that are in Christianese and that we as Christians understand and accept, but it should make logical sense. And a lot of times we're accused as Christians of not making sense, of believing some things that are irrational, and things that on the surface may actually look irrational. I mean, an entity that we can't see speaks creation and speaks the universe into existence. That sounds a little irrational, but is it? Well, if it's true, then it should conform to objective reality. And I believe, again, that Christianity does. And the more I've studied Christianity, being a Christian for most of my life, I have found that the more I've learned, the more the Bible makes sense, the more God makes sense. And not only that, it's the only system of belief system that does make sense. It's the only belief system that does conform to logic and reason. And that's a pretty ambitious, audacious statement. And this blog is my proof points of it. So that's what the whole purpose of the blog is, to show that in a systematic, logical way. And when the blog started, I didn't start with God. I didn't presume God. I don't want to take anything for granted. I don't want to ever insult the intelligence or integrity of my readers, and in this case, my listeners, by assuming anything. When I started the blog, I don't even assume God. I don't, because, again, God is the name that we've given to the entity, to the creator, but I don't assume that. I start with just the very, very basic things that we know. I start with what we know, and if what we know should lead us to God, if God is real. So I just start with existence. My very first few blogs just deal with existence, period, and go from there, and it systematically leads to God. So that's the purpose of the blog. It starts with the basics and just flows from there. And I believe it just flows in a very logical and reasonable manner from step one to step whatever. We're up to step around 80-ish now. And again, that's the blog. The blog format. Well, as you can see, when you look at the blogs, they start off with a title and an image. And there is where you start to see my rather derisive sense of humor. And again, even though I have the humor, I still take this all very seriously, but I don't think there needs to be a divorce between having a sense of humor and taking the Bible seriously. God has a sense of humor. In fact, the second book of Psalms clearly says that God has a derisive sense of humor, and that's something he and I share, because God laughs in derision at people who are fighting against him. And again, my sense of humor is derisive, so I take a little comfort in that, knowing that God and I have the same sense of humor. And hopefully we laugh at the same jokes. And then every blog has a little bit of a harkens back to the previous blogs. So I'll give you a recap of what's going on. And so that if you're picking up on a blog and you haven't been reading all the ones before it, hopefully you can use that little preamble to get caught up. There are always links. I try to link as much as possible, either to previous blogs or to Bible verses or to other external sites. But I like linking back to previous blogs because it really shows you that everything is building on itself from the very first blog post all the way to number 80, whatever that I'm on right now. It should be building a narrative and a story that, again, makes sense. That's the whole systematic part of the blog. And also on the blog pages, you will see links on in the right navigation bar to recent posts. You'll be able to subscribe. I'd love for you to subscribe to the blog. That way you'll get new posts as they come up. Hopefully you get the new podcasts as they come up as well. You'll see our archives, and you'll just be able to do a search back and see how long I've been doing this and what I've been doing. Comments, I'd love to get your comments. That's something that really inspires me, interacting with my readers. And that's pretty much it. That's kind of how the blog works. But just as importantly, I need to tell you what this blog isn't. As I said a little earlier, this isn't your basic Christianese blog. This blog is not for everyone. It's for people who want to be challenged. It's for people who really want to take a deep dive and examine their faith and are unafraid of examining their faith. Because a lot of times we may unconsciously or subconsciously know that some of the things that we talk about as Christians is incredible. It is pretty incredible. We talk about miracles and, again, the world being flooded and things being created out of nothing and walking on water and coming back from the dead. Those are things that are pretty incredible. And if you are the type of person who just says, I accept it, and I'm just going to put my fingers in my ears and say, la, 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 if anyone challenges me, then this isn't the blog for you. This is a blog for people who want to say, you know what? It seems nuts that God becomes a man and gets killed and rises from the dead. Does that make sense? Well, if you ask those kinds of questions, this blog is for you. If you say, why on earth would God flood the entire world and kill everybody and basically commit genocide? That doesn't seem right. There's got to be a good reason for it, right? Well, if those are the questions you ask, this blog is for you. But if you want to, again, if you're someone who doesn't want to ask those questions, if you think it's sacrilegious to question why God does things the way he does things, then again, blog's not for you. And that's not a problem. But if you are someone who believes that the Bible does make sense and it can make sense and we can understand it, if you're someone who doesn't just say, well, where the Bible is silent, we must be silent. If you're not one of those people, this blog is for you, and I think you'll enjoy it. Hopefully you will. And again, give me your comments and let me know. Okay, now that we talked about the blog, maybe a little bit about me. Who am I? Why did I make this blog? What's my mindset? Well, if you go to the About Me page on the website, which has proven to be one of the more controversial pages, interestingly, the first thing I say about myself is that I'm not religious. And the first reaction people have is, what, are you kidding me? How can you say you're not religious? You claim to be a Christian. Yes, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm in fellowship with Jesus. But I am not religious. Why? Because religion has nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, Christianity is anti-religious. Religion, if you look up the definition of what religion is objectively, has nothing to do with faith. Religion is actions that men do in order to get themselves closer to what they believe is right or divine. So religions are acts of men. They are not from God. Now, yes, God tells us to do certain things, but when we do those things, we're not being religious. Why? Because they're not man-made things. They're God-inspired things. When God tells us to do something and we obey it, then we're showing that we love him, rather, because he said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. You'll obey me. But again, religion is man's attempt to be good. For example, you can brush your teeth religiously. If you get up in the morning and at 7 o'clock every morning you brush your teeth, then you know what you're doing? You're brushing your teeth religiously. It has nothing to do with God. It's your effort to be good. And the problem with that, because we are not perfect like God, any effort that we make to be like him on our own, in addition to what he tells us, is going to be imperfect. And it's also a matter of pride. And pride is the one thing that will keep you from God and will keep you from going to heaven, because God hates pride. And the reason he hates pride is because pride is us telling God that we know better than him. So anytime anyone does something that adds on to what God said, it is religion and it is pride and it is ungodly. For example, the very first religious act in the Bible was done by Eve. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Fine, that's from God. And as long as they did that, they weren't being religious, they were obeying God. But what did Eve say when the serpent asked her about it? Eve said, God said we should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, and we can't even touch it. Whoa, wait a minute. God never said not to touch it. He only said not to eat of it. Well, that not saying not to touch it was Eve's way of improving on what God told her. She said, well, okay, God said not to eat it, but hey, if I touch it, then I really can't eat it. So hey, God, I'm helping you out. I'm making your law even better by adding my own little requirements to it. Not only will I not eat the fruit, I won't even touch it. Problem is, God didn't say it. But if Eve thinks she's improving on God, that's she's in pride, because if you improve on God, then wouldn't that technically mean that you're better than God? And if you're better than God, then you're greater than God, then what do you need God for? So any of the things that we do to improve on God that God didn't ask us to do, like, I don't know, praying to Mary, like lighting candles and caressing beads when we pray, or dressing a certain way when we go to church on Sunday, or even necessarily going to a building with a steeple and stained glass. None of those things are in the Bible. Those are religious things. Those are things that men have done to get to God on their own. And again, that is pride. And look at the life of Jesus. Who did Jesus have a problem with? Not sinners. Jesus hung out with sinners. When he encountered the woman at the well who had five husbands, he didn't yell at her. He didn't berate her. He told her to stop doing what she was doing, but he tried to help her. The woman who was caught in adultery, who they wanted to stone, Jesus didn't stone her. He didn't judge her. He actually saved her life. No, Jesus only had problems with the religious people, the Pharisees. Why? Because Jesus said, you guys are heaping up extra burdens on top of people that my law was never intended to do. And that they did that for their own selfish reasons, to make themselves seem so big and pious so they could wear their robes and walk around and have people adore them and worship them. You see where this is going? Because they were so religious, they put themselves in the place of God. We are the intermediaries between God and men, so you have to come to us, the great Pharisees, the great priests, the great high shamans, and you know that's we're your way to God. Well, that's not what God intended. And they weren't doing it for the people. They were doing it for themselves. They were in pride. That is religion. And we'll get into this a lot deeper because I'm starting to run on about religion quite a bit. And I spend a lot of time, a great deal of time, dealing with religion in the blogs. And I'll get a little bit more to it there, into it there. But I am not religious because I want to go to heaven. I want to be with God. And so I'm the opposite. Or I strive to be the opposite of religious, which is humility. And humility comes from not thinking lowly of yourself, but by thinking contrastively. Thinking contrastively means considering that you might be wrong. Doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means considering the possibility that you could be wrong and looking at things from another point of view. And you can't be prideful when you do that. On the opposite is comparative thinking, which is trying to prove yourself right. Now, we all naturally are contrastive with other people. We're always trying to prove other people wrong. You may be listening to this podcast right now trying to prove what I just said wrong. And that's fine. You should do that. But we don't do it very well with ourselves, because every position we take, we assume it's right. And because it's right, when we argue with someone, we're trying to prove ourselves right. We're being comparative. And that's when fights break out. Now, imagine if you were getting into an argument with a person, but you tried to prove yourself wrong. Well, that argument wouldn't last very long. And that would be a good thing. So I'm not religious. I try to be a contrastive thinker. Not perfect at it. No one is. But that's my goal. And I am also someone who asks why. I ask the question why all the time. If you were to ask my parents what were my first words, they would probably say why. Because I was always, as a child, asking why. And I didn't like, and still to this day, don't like doing something if I don't know why. If there's not a really good reason for it. And that includes my faith in God. If there's not a good reason for my Christian faith, then why am I doing it? Paul himself says that if what we believe about Christianity is untrue, then we're the biggest fools in the world. And I agree with him. If Christianity is wrong, then we're fools for believing it. However, on the other hand, if Christianity is right and it conforms to logic and reason, which again, I believe it does, and I try to prove through this blog, then we would actually be foolish not to believe it. And that's really the whole goal of everything. That's why I'm doing this. So I welcome your comments to the blog. I welcome you writing in and saying, hey, I think you're wrong about this. And I'd be happy to have a discussion with you about it. So again, that's about me. I've talked about the blog. I've talked about the podcast. And I think that's going to wrap up this first one. We're at about 20 minutes. So we're around my goal of keeping us under 30 minutes. So this was a foundation laying podcast. The next podcast and all the ones after that will really start dealing with the content of the blog and doing some exposition on that. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you listen to it and tell your friends about it. And again, like it on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and send us your comments. Subscribe to the blog, and I look forward to doing more podcasts and interacting with folks. And I really hope this is a benefit to you and a blessing to you. So again, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time. And maybe I'll come up with some intro music. No promises, but I will try. Maybe a little bit of Prince or something. Ooh, maybe Sign of the Times. That would be a good Prince record to have as an intro. Well, we'll see. Until next time, thanks for listening.